We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt, Illinois, and at my right hand I have
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran Church in the beautiful, lighted, Christmas-litted streets of St. Louis Hills in South right. St. Louis.
You're in luck because we have the local grammarian with
That's
us today.
That's what I was just thinking.
So
yes.
What would it be? How would you have said that, Lynn?
Lighted streets.
Kid, you got to get closer to the mic.
I would have said lighted streets instead of litted streets.
All right. Thank you.
Picky.
And again, how do you pronounce the word for wise men?
Magi.
Yes, because it's the plural of
mages.
Thank you very much. This is what Paul had to put up with when he was doing this show, Matt. Yes, it is Family Month here on Wrestling with the Basics and celebration of Advent and Christmas. We're bringing in family members, hoping that maybe we'll get a little nicer presents that way. So the last couple of weeks we had your kids. How are your kids doing? Are they back in school now?
They are back in school, where they should be.
Well, exactly. Oh, I should introduce, this is my wife, Lynn Lekumsky. She should be in school today, too. She
yeah,
is a
wait
principal.
A second. Yeah.
But she's taken off just so she could be with us for this recording session. Come here, say hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Okay.
So the children in Oakville are running wild right now. The principal's gone. Or the teachers maybe are running wild.
Yeah, I guess we should explain this is actually being recorded on a Tuesday because people are hearing us on a Saturday and they think, well, what difference does it make? School is closed. It's a Saturday. But so, Lynn, thank you for taking off from school to be with us. Actually, I should explain one of the reasons Lynn's here is because in another hour we're going to be recording live Concord Matters. They've invited Lynn and I to come in, so that's the other reason why she's here. We thought, well, come an hour earlier and record some Wrestling with the Basics with us. And already she's interfering because we wanted to do the story of Christmas. After all, it is the Christmas season. It'll be this next week. And so I said, well, let's do the whole story of Christmas, the birth of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1. And what did you say, Lynn?
You're going to start with a genealogy, right?
Right.
No, I wasn't intending on starting with a genealogy, but I guess
we are now.
So let's have at it. By the way, don't turn off your radio or your computer because at the end of our show we will have the annual Christmas tradition of Wrestling with the Basics of the Jalapeno Chorus. In fact, Lynn has agreed that she's actually going to do a solo with it.
Oh, great!
She did not know that, but that's right. So
can I plug our live nativity?
Oh,
one
you
last
should.
Time?
Is that tonight?
Yes, it is tonight. So December the 19th, tonight. Be sure to stop by Ascension Lutheran Church at the corner of Donovan and Eichelberger in South St. Louis if you're in the St. Louis metro area. 5 to 9 p.m., there will be shepherds and wise men and live animals. And, of course, don't forget about baby Jesus.
Did you ever get a baby Jesus?
You know,
you're just using it.
You'll have to come to find
it. Oh, that's the excitement. Did they actually find a real baby or not? And by the way, again, to further clarify things, we're recording this on a Tuesday, but this is actually on Saturday when you're hearing the show that the live nativity will be.
Yes, things will be litted, enlightened.
Enlightened?
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And your kids are actually participating in that too,
yes,
right?
They are. So they are both, I believe they're both shepherds, and I'm a shepherd as well. We're not shepherds at the same time, though. We're rotating. We have 1 hour shifts. That's it. And then we're rotating off.
Well, somebody has to watch the sheep while the others go down to the manger. That's Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, exactly. And just a big thank you. We had some seamstresses in our congregation did a fantastic job. So we have enough costumes so that we have costumes for those out and then costumes for those on deck ready to go out. So there'll be a seamless switch of shepherds.
Oh.
It's worth coming just for that. It's like the changing of the guard.
Just to see the shepherds come and go. All right, Lynn, Matthew chapter 1. Why in the world can't we just start with a story of the birth? Why do you want to talk about the genealogy? You brought it up. That's right.
So that you could see how the Gentiles are involved in the birth.
Wait a second. I thought that was Luke's gig, the Gentiles. Is it Matthew, too? He wants to get the Gentiles involved in it?
Well, yeah.
Well, now you need to offer an explanation here. You're working with a couple of dumb pastors.
All right. We have Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth.
And why is that significant?
Because Ruth was a Moabitess.
You're kidding me. Did you know that, Matt?
Wait a second. How did she get in here?
That's right. We need to, get your pen out. I had no idea she was a Moabitess.
And, of course, you have Rahab the prostitute.
Was she she a Gentile,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I think she was.
I think she was,
yeah,
too.
She was, yeah, she was. So
she lived in Jericho.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's the city they tore down, isn't it?
The walls came tumbling down.
Until somebody rebuilt it at the cost of his two kids.
Talking about that, that's the other thing I noticed in this genealogy, too. Oh, you want me to talk in the mic now? This is going to be so confusing. So you got these Gentiles in there, but I also noticed that they got some stories about, David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. What is that all about, Matt?
Yeah, and it's always the women who have the exceptions here. What's the deal?
Right, because we don't need women in the genealogy. There's no other women in the genealogy. It's the father of Isaac, father of Jacob, the father of Judah. Then all of a sudden we get all these women. Yeah,
so Ruth is an exception, like Lynn pointed out. She's a Moabite.
Yeah.
But then also we've got Rahab, the harlot or the prostitute. And then we get to, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. So Uriah, a Hittite, not an Israelite.
Another foreigner.
Foreigner. And his wife, of course, is Bathsheba. And we have that whole episode with David and Bathsheba. But even God works through that episode, that sin of adultery, to bring the Savior into the world.
Do we need to bring that up, though? Because I like David. This is this wonderful king. That'd be like telling something bad about Donald Trump. We don't want to do that.
No, there's nothing bad to tell, right?
But here's the great David, and he's a murderer, too. Isn't there something about a murder in that story, too?
Lust, murder, adultery, stealing. It's got it all.
I don't know why they didn't leave that out of the genealogy. And now you're talking about the Tamar. Isn't there some evil story, Lynn, about Tamar, too?
Okay, let's see. Tamar, wasn't she the lady who was the daughter of...
Yes.
Just a minute.
You're the one that wanted to bring it up.
Okay, she was the daughter of Lot.
No, I don't think so.
She was the daughter-in-law of Judah, right?
Yeah, there
Judah,
you go.
Oh, that's the one.
That's right. Yeah. Had that.
So that, ask him? That,
well, you're the one that brought it up.
So that's kind of a whole sordid episode, too.
Another sordid episode. Yeah.
I don't know if it's even appropriate for radio. But
the father and the daughter-in-law, is that what you're saying? Getting together and okay.
So, yeah. I mean, what's meaningful to me about this, a couple of things. Like Lynn pointed out, the God's inclusion of people outside of the people of Israel. God works through Gentiles, too, as well as Jews. We see that to bring the Savior into the world. But then also, what I like is he works through imperfect people. I mean, here's liars.
Imperfect, that's right. Adulterers, murderers.
Yes.
A little more than imperfection here.
Yeah, downright sinful, terrible people. So there's hope for guys like us, because we're sinners too. So if he can work through them,
this is what it's like working with Matt all the time. You're a sinner too.
Oh, he's right.
Trapped like rats, he says. What? I'm not a rat. What? So thank you, Lynn. That's why you wanted to do the whole genealogy,
not the
though.
The whole genealogy.
Well, yeah, just the key parts. Tamar and the wife of Uriah and Ruth and all of those people that shouldn't be in it. We didn't have to have them in the genealogy, but they show up there anyway. And I'm thinking, Matt, I think it's right what you're saying, too. I think this probably has something to do with what they're going to name the baby at the end of this story. Maybe this all relates to what they named the baby at the end of the story. But now, is it all right, Lynn, if we go on and pick up with the actual birth? All right. Thank you. Okay. I don't know. Who wants to read? Matt, you want to read? Should I read? Lynn, you want to read verse 18? It's Christmas time. We want to talk about the birth of... This is the adult Christmas story, by the way. I guess, really, you were saying, should we be doing this on radio? We should have done Luke chapter 2. Because that, you know, that's the one that Linus reads on the Peanut special. He would never have read this one. This is too racy to be on a Peanut special.
The nitty gritty.
The nitty gritty.
So do you want me to read? Or
go
you
ahead,
want...
yeah. We might as well get started here. And just chime in anytime you want, Lynn. Just wave your hand and I'll push the microphone where you can talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit.
Oh, that sounds pretty decent. I think that's in the other stories too, isn't it? Yeah. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. I think we confess that in the Creed.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Okay. So, I mean, this is miraculous, though. I mean, conceived by the Holy Spirit before they came together. Amazing. You know, we have other accounts where God provides children. Even in this genealogy, you know, we think of Abraham how he provides a child for Abraham and Sarah in their old age. But here, something even more miraculous, he provides a child before they've even come together, a child from the Holy Spirit, from God himself.
So, yeah, because if we were doing Luke, that would have been preceded by the birth of John the Baptist. Again, that was a miraculous birth, you know, a couple of old people. And in fact, Zechariah, he's struck dumb because he can't believe it. It just can't be. My wife's too old. I'm too old. But yeah, but you're right. This is even a whole notch because there's no sexual relations going on at all.
Mm-hmm.
Lynn, how many kids have you had?
It depends on how you count them. I've had six.
Okay, that's right. But you did lose one stillborn? Yeah.
No, miscarriage.
Miscarriage.
Yeah.
Okay. But we all know how babies come. That's how it is. I've got three children, and you've got two, and we all know. But this is a totally different thing, as you said, Matt. I don't even know why I got into that. Maybe we need to move on. Lynn, any comments you want to make about this? The virgin birth, that's what it's called.
Well, it's more miraculous than any other birth in the scriptures. I guess that was my point. Or your conception, I should say.
Well, I think probably more than any other birth, period.
Oh, period. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Most although definitely. Although there, I think there are some other myths from other that leaders like in Rome or something also claimed a virgin birth, but we really doubt that's true.
Yeah, that's...
Well, by the way, this is the only one where the Holy Spirit comes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
so
God himself.
By the Spirit. Yeah,
That's difficult to comprehend. We can't. It's a mystery.
Question, comment, Lynn?
Well, it's probably controversial to some people, but it says before...
Oh, no.
Before they came together, which to me implies that they actually did come together at one point.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's the whole ever-virgin part of the story as well. Okay.
Yeah, and I would agree. I mean, to say that I don't see why they wouldn't come together after they're married, of course. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, something that God intends from creation. And sure, why wouldn't they come together?
Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they have children? Well, I'm going to stick with the traditional teaching of the Catholic Church that she's ever virgin. But if you two want to be radical heretics, feel free to do so. No, we don't know. We don't know for sure. All right, let's continue with the story. I told you when I said we're going to bring Lynn in, we're just going to have trouble. That's all we're going to have. So go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly.
So apparently Joseph didn't believe in virgin birth. He didn't believe that the Spirit can come upon you. His assumption was what I think every husband would make, is that, well, she must have been fooling around. And so now we're into, what kind of story is this? I want to go back to the little babe lying in the manger, because now we brought up these prostitutes and these Gentiles and murder and adultery, and now we got the same thing here. Joseph thinking that his wife has been unfaithful.
Yeah.
What's this all about? What kind of Christmas story is this?
But I think that's a good point. This Christmas story isn't something that's just sanitized and just, you know, that live nativity that's just picturesque. No, this is kind of nitty gritty. And yeah, at this point, I think you're right.
Are we having murderers and adulterers at your at the live nativity tonight? You need to look into that.
See what we can do.
But you're right, Matt. It's neat in that respect, isn't it? Because the world is quite willing to accept the very sanitized story of Christmas with the little babe lying in a manger, which is a beautiful story, which we'll do next week, by the way. if you love that story, we'll continue that. But I'm with you. I like the grittiness of this, that this is dealing with sinful people, because that's who's listening to us right now. I'll be willing to bet you that we've got people that are listening to us that are having all kinds of frustrations, maybe because of lack of money, maybe because they're fighting with people in their family. Maybe they're not even sure everyone's going to be able to show up at their house at Christmas or will want to show up at Christmas. And so I think it's kind of nice to know, yeah, this is exactly for whom Christmas, the story is all about. It's not about for people who got everything all together. It's for people that are struggling and wrestling. I know we're going to have people in our congregation that are going to have a very, very sad Christmas because they've lost loved ones within the last few weeks and the last few months. And it's tough. It's tough to have a holiday when the people you love and care for aren't going to be able to be there with you. But, well, anyway, Lynn, you want to try anything else you want to add, or anything else you want to add, Matt? Or?
Oh, you've said it all. You've said it all.
Mark that. You'll never hear that again. Mark that on the calendar. Today, Lynn said, I had said it all. Anything else, Matt? Should we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay.
Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All right, why don't we just stop there? Yeah, it's that whole name business that we need to talk about in a second. But Matt, Lynn, anything about this angel appearing to Joseph in a dream? Anything that you find striking about that?
Well, the word of the Lord comes to Joseph like the word of the Lord comes, and here it comes via this dream. And thanks be to God for it, that he shares with Joseph exactly what takes place, that this child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. He's going to bear a son. Because now Joseph, I think you're right. He did have fears. He had doubts. I'm sure, where did this child come from? But what brings him peace now is the word of the Lord. The word comes to Joseph.
Yeah, I like that thought. I like that thought, Matt, too, because yeah, this is Joseph. This is holy Joseph. I mean, we also put him up there with Mary and everything. But he's got doubts. He's got doubts. I like the thought that there's only one answer to your doubts. It's the word of God. You're not going to be able to evoke this within yourself. If you continue to dwell in your own reason and your strength, you're just going to find more reasons to think that she must have done something unfaithful. What else could it be? So the word of God has to intervene in order that Joseph might have the faith that he needs to have. And we need to understand that too. This Christmas, if there's going to be any faith involved beyond just going through the rituals, it has to be because the word of God is going to have to come to us. Now, I'm not looking for angels to show up. But, of course, we don't need angels because we got what we're doing right now. We got
exactly.
The Word of God. It's all written
right
out
now.
For us. Yeah, yes. Yeah. The Holy Spirit here working through the Scripture, working even through us. There is a miracle. You thought the virgin birth was a miracle. The fact that the Holy Spirit could use Matt and John that to create faith, that's truly a miracle.
You're right. Yeah. And I think, too, here, Joseph is going to stay with Mary, really, at the risk of being ridiculed by others, too. Others didn't necessarily have the same revelation that he just had.
No, that's right.
So to the outside world, what is this Joseph guy doing? What did he and Mary do together? I'm sure looked down upon
by too.
Many.
They were counting the months, weren't they?
Yeah,
Wait a second.
Yeah. But yet he is the clear
months.
Word of the Lord.
Yep. Yeah. Lynn, what do you think? What do you think? From a woman's standpoint.
I'm just glad that Joseph was absolutely certain that this message was from the Lord, because, you know, people get messages in their dreams and you think, well, was that really the Lord or wasn't it? But for some reason, because of the Lord's grace, he actually understood that this was a message from the Lord.
And, you know, that's a good point, too. Thanks for bringing that up, Lynn, because, see, we would think that he has an advantage over us because he had an angel come and deliver it to him. But you're right. Actually, that was a disadvantage, because how do I know? How do I know it wasn't just something I had for supper? How do I know this really was an angel? How do I really know this came from God? I suppose in this case, it probably was affirmed by the fact that I imagine Mary had mentioned the name, too, right? Because Mary had already gotten that name, that he'd be named Jesus. And the whole business about being conceived by the Holy Spirit, the fact that what came in the vision verified everything that Mary had said before, which was also a word of God delivered to him. But no, we've got it so much better, because we don't know whether the angels are good angels or bad angels when they show up in our dreams. And I've had enough bad dreams to know that. But we've got the fact that this is recorded in the Holy Scripture by the inspired men of God. So, yeah, thank you, then. We actually have it better than they do.
Well, and this message, this angel also quotes the Old Testament scriptures, too. I think that's important. The book of Isaiah itself, that this is a fulfillment of what that sure word of the Lord in the Old Testament scriptures says.
Well, let's read that. Let's read that. But we got to come back to this name. But yeah, I think, man, that's a wonderful point. I had never thought about that. This angel doesn't come apart from Holy Scripture, but comes with the assurance of Holy Scriptures. And maybe that's what we need to do. Oh, Matt, did you see the light go off? Yeah, so if you got an angel come and talk to you, you got to ask yourself, is this the same stuff I'm hearing in the Holy Scriptures?
Exactly.
If it's the same stuff, well, then yeah, it probably was a messenger from God. But if it's something different, no matter how impressive that angel might have been, no, this is not God's word.
And yeah, that's really what, you know, what Paul says, you know, in Galatians. Even if an angel should come, you know, and preach to you
exactly.
something contrary to this gospel, don't believe it.
Anathema, he says.
Anathema.
All right, so what's the word of God that matches this?
Okay, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
So, Matt, thank you very much. Boy, that you have enlightened me. That it's not just because some angel comes to you and tells you something, but it's because what the angel told him matches up what the prophets, what the Holy Scripture had said, and therefore, okay, yeah, I can buy this, I can believe this, even though it goes against my own reason or strength again. It's contrary to my reason or strength, but I will believe it, not just because an angel said it, but because of what the word of God, the prophet said.
Yeah, and it sure looks like, you know, that the angel may have said that himself, or maybe this the statement that Matthew includes to show, to back up what the angel had said. But either way, again, the message of the angel, what's taking place, a fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures.
It was the Holy Scripture that moved him then to believe that. Get ready, Matt. We're going to have the jalapeno course in a real second.
Okay.
Lynn, what was the name? What was the name the angel told him? Both Mary and Joseph, what were they to name him?
Jesus.
And why were they to name him Jesus?
Because he's going to save his people.
And, you know, that's the thing that I always enjoyed about that, because I'm thinking, if I was Joseph and I was having all these evil, wicked thoughts about my wife, that she was an adulteress and a liar. She told me this cock and bull story about the spirit coming upon her. I think I would have been kind of humbled when the angel came and said, nope, she's not at all what you thought. She's not a slut. She's not a liar. She's the Holy One chosen by God. And I think it probably was a great comfort for Joseph then when you're going to name the baby Jesus because he's going to save you, Joseph.
From your sins, too.
You're going to need to be saved from your sins as well. What do you think? Shall we start up the jalapeno for us?
Oh, yeah. So, and, just press play here.
Press play.
Okay.
Let's hope it works. There we go. All right, Lynn, you want to join in? This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky, and
this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark,
and
this is John Lukumsky's wife, Lynn.
Yes, principal at Emmanuel in Oakville, skipping school today, so that we could all come together. And what are we going to say to everybody right now? One, two, three.
Merry Christmas.